How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard. This is a show about wrestling. And today we are going to be doing kind of a combo of one of our segment surgeries and one of our random match reviews. And we are going to be touching on a small point in the career of Rick McGraw that his nickname obviously was Quick Draw McGraw after the cartoon character. Got his debut in 75, and Leonard is going to talk a little bit about the segment and match we're covering today.
Yeah, so this was my pick, and we'll talk about why in a bit. But it's a Piper's Pit segment that aired on WWF Championship Wrestling, the forerunner to Superstars, on October 26th of 1985, and a match the following week on November 2nd of 1985. So, near the time the I'm not good at math, but like what the 39th anniversary around the time of us recording this. On commentary for both is Vince McMahon and Bruno Sammartino. So this is in the spotlight, but I thought I would mention a little bit about McGraw. He turned pro in 1975 and worked for a variety of territories, including the World Wrestling Federation. There, he formed an oddball tag team with Andre the Giant. At one point, about he was so big and Rick was so small, and then he was also half of the Carolina Connection with Steve Travis. But by 85, he was working as a jobber to the stars for the WWF, meaning he could beat other preliminary talent but would lose to bigger names on the roster. Before I go to the segment, Chad, did you know much about Rick McGraw before us preparing for this tonight?
Not really, not other than hearing his name, a few times, maybe on podcasts or documentaries. I certainly, have heard, some of the old timers mention Quick Draw McGraw, for various reasons. What they were, I have no idea at this point. Some of the all these podcasts tend to run together after a while, but yeah, I certainly was aware of who he was, but certainly not aware of this particular segment.
Yeah, I was the same way with you. I knew the name. I had heard the name. I think the nickname of Quick Draw McGraw because of the cartoon character stuck out in my head, but really didn't know a whole lot about him. And I actually got turned on to this by, one of those sort of random Facebook reel videos and went, oh, I didn't know that. And again, we're going to get into what we didn't know here.
Right.
But first, we're going to talk about the segment. So it's a Piper's Pit, and it's obvious that Piper is looking to poke fun at McGraw, who is cagey from the start. He doesn't like that Bob Orton is there. This is the period where Orton was acting as Piper's bodyguard. And Piper calls McGraw mediocre. McGraw calls Piper's kilt a dress, which always made him mad. And Piper calls McGraw back a loser and a geek, and he hasn't beaten anybody or done anything since returning from injury. They don't elaborate on what that was. And then McGraw questions why Piper never wrestles anyone on television. So McGraw then slaps Piper and walks off, and Piper flips out and takes the challenge to face him next week. So this is setting up the match that we're going to talk about next. I have to admit, McGraw doesn't have much charisma or presence. Piper seemed to be struggling here, and I have to believe that's because McGraw was such a non-entity and not giving him much. But your thoughts here on the segment?
So it's interesting you mentioned Piper struggling, and I was wondering as I watched it, because as I was watching it and I saw him stumble on his words, I was like, wow. I was like, I don't ever remember a time where Roddy Piper stumbled on his words like
Yeah.
this. And then I thought to myself after the fact, was he doing that on purpose just to give McGraw something to poke at him for?
Okay.
Maybe not. That could be a little bit of a reach. But the thought occurred to me that, because this is not a long segment. This is like a little over 2 minutes
Yeah.
segment. And yeah, McGraw is very, it's very, I hate to sound like a New Yorker here, like a Southern wrestling type guy when he talks, and very kind of yokelish,
Yeah.
stuff. But it was what it was. He was getting a highlight. And he was a jobber who was getting a highlight on, Roddy Piper's segment. But yeah, I had wondered if like he was feeding that to McGraw specifically to kind of incite the argument. But who knows? You know, obviously, you know, many people have stumbled on their words on live
Yeah.
television, even these days.
Yeah. And I never thought about that. That could be true, but I would say it was more maybe Piper having an off night, and maybe it was because it was off of McGraw. So, but
Right.
who
Yeah.
knows? So anyway, next week was the match. McGraw comes out wearing one of Piper's famous hot rod t-shirts. Piper comes out and jaws at the jeering fans. McGraw tears off the shirt, blows his nose on it, and throws it at Piper. That was, I think, a great spot. Piper goes to the floor, looks into the camera, and says, "I'll show you why they don't let me wrestle on TV," which I think is the main theme of the story of this match. So McGraw attacks Piper while he's taking his shirt off, big hip toss, and a series of punches by Rick. As the referee pulls him off with them in the corner, Piper sucker punches McGraw and takes over. A double thrust to the throat sends McGraw out of the ring to the floor, and he follows. He throws McGraw into the steel guardrail. Piper gets back into the ring and pulls Rick in from the floor. Big knee lift. McGraw tries to fight back, but Piper scores an eye poke. McGraw fires away again. Raj just no-sells it all and looks pissed. So McGraw takes a back suplex out of a headlock. Piper screams at McGraw to get up and blows snot on him. So a call back to him blowing snot in the t-shirt. Start. McGraw fights back again, but Piper does a double leg takedown, just wails on him. Piper with a DDT, a neck breaker, a suplex, a second DDT all in a row. And then the ref calls for the bell and declares Piper the winner as McGraw can't continue. Don't know if I've ever seen that finish outside of a submission being put on. So Piper then says to the camera, "Hey, that's why I don't wrestle on TV." So paying off that introduction, that's what the story was. So I think this was a great way to get Piper over as a menacing, psychotic heel, even though he wasn't as big as a lot of the other guys, especially they were using at the time. I mean, Piper was a top heel, but at this point, his feuds with Hogan and Orndorff had cooled. So I can see this as a way to show Piper's dominance, keep him hot. While this was pretty much a brawl, it felt a bit restrained, and I give Piper credit for the wrestling moves he pulled off. That ending sequence, I think, was really solid. So this is a story that told a match, gets the point across. The ending, I think, makes Piper look just like such an amazing heel. I liked it. For a TV match, I would give it 2 stars.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, I might even go a little bit more simply because it really showcases what Piper brought to the table in the ring. We know what he brings to the table from a promo perspective, but you know, he was just all over this guy from the start. He did a good balance of kind of jaw-jacking at the fans or the camera and, you know, doing his moves. And yeah, there was that no-sell spot, which I thought was funny. And he really doesn't give McGraw a ton, but you know, just basically proving a point. And I liked the idea of McGraw pointing out that Piper didn't wrestle on television a lot. You know, you don't really see a ton of Roddy Piper jobber matches
No.
in this era anyway. Yeah, I mean, you know, Bruno, this is obviously before the DDT was something you saw every week, and he kind of refers to them almost as pile drivers because DDT was not really in the lexicon as heavily, I would say.
Right. Roberts would have been in Mid-South and doing it in Mid-South at this
Right.
period. He hadn't come in yet. So yeah, that was probably a term not being used in the WWF.
Right. And so it was cool to see that. This is not a very long match, but I'm assuming, Leonard, that you also picked this for the aftermath. Is that
Right, which is the next thing I was going to
okay?
talk about.
So we won't we won't we but I'll just end my thoughts on the match and just say that I agree. I thought that it really made Piper look good. It made him look like a main eventer. And even though the match was entertaining as short as it was, it also showcased how much better Piper was than McGraw.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
And good on Rick for taking that beating that he did. But
Yeah.
the real reason I kind of picked this, and again, I ran across a video, I didn't know this, but as I mentioned, I think at the start, this was McGraw's last segment and match, and it's because he died the day before the match aired on November 1st of 1985 at the age of 30 of a heart attack. Bret Hart in his book said that McGraw used Placidil, which could have contributed to his death. It's a drug used to treat insomnia.
Right.
But, you know, cause of his heart attack, I don't think it was ever determined. Now, with kayfabe still strong at this point, the rumored time was that McGraw died from the injuries he suffered at the hands of Roddy Piper in this match.
Right.
No truth to that.
Right.
And in fact, with the match itself was taped on October 22nd. McGraw wrestled at least three times on house shows per the Internet Wrestling Database against the Spoiler, Randy Savage, and Mike Sharp. So Piper did wrestle on a charity show to benefit McGraw's family afterward. So good on Piper for that. But yeah, it's not something I was aware of at the time, but reading that, I could definitely see where people would have said that at the time.
Yeah, that's it's a crazy kind of coincidence slash, you know, bit of timing that you don't really hear people talk about a lot. And like, it's kind of insane when you think about it, like, you know, that people thought Piper killed this guy. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, you wonder, like, I guess in those days, you know, stuff was sent out ahead of time, so maybe they just couldn't get it back, and they just kind of had to roll with the fact that the match was out there. Plus, obviously, it was a storyline from the week before, so they had to deliver on it to a certain degree. Yeah, I mean, McGraw's death, you know, is sad, and, you know, at 30 years old, that is very, very young, and I'd be willing to bet that in addition to the Placidil, there was also some steroid use going on there. And it's really unfortunate. Yeah, Placidil is, I think, a level 4 controlled substance at this point. You know, it's very easy to become addicted to stuff like that. And it's just a really interesting little blip in the radar of wrestling. You know, this was in the mid 80s when Piper was very hot. And, you know, still really at his peak, I would say. And, you know, to have McGraw's end kind of come to this way, you wonder how much this added to the mystique of Roddy Piper and kind of the uncontrollable aggression that he would bring to that character.
Yeah, you know, Piper's very much in his prime, I would say, from 84 to 87. And, you know, I think, well, what if McGraw hadn't passed? He probably would have hung on probably to the early 90s as a jobber, like a lot of the, like a Mike Sharp, you know, did. So I don't think he had a potential to get much past that. But I definitely think McGraw probably would have been a loyal company guy with them for, you know, at least till the early 90s.
Yeah, we'll have to visit one of the Carolina Connections matches down the road here.
Yeah, to take a look. Maybe McGraw is a hidden gem that we're not aware of. So
right. Yeah. So, yeah, let us know if you have any memories of Quick Draw McGraw. And if you remember this segment, what you thought of it. And, you know, let us know in the comments. And subscribe to our content below. Check out our other videos, What's That Card, and our full-length episodes. We're available wherever you listen to podcasts. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.